Well, we're going to talk about Jesus this morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus. And I love this passage because it's on the road to Emmaus and they were walking down the road. And in verse 25, he said to them, this is Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and at all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You know, I wish I could have been there. Here they're on the way to Emmaus on the road, and they're just sad. The Messiah, Jesus, died on the cross, and they're just wondering, do we go back to the things we were doing? Where are we going? What's happening? And they didn't know. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them, and he shares with them, and he says, "Oh, foolish ones, you of little faith, don't you know that I had to die to give life?" And I just think that's wonderful how Jesus gave his life for us. And then he goes on and expounds from Moses, the prophets, all the things concerning himself. It was many years ago when I met Trent at the Bible college, and me and him were there with 300 other kids that were excited about Jesus. We were on fire. And we just had a passion for the Lord, but didn't have any knowledge. And we were there, and I remember Trent struggling, as you guys know, with not being able to read. And I was involved in a ministry called Firefighters for Christ, and I kept giving him tapes. And he would, "Can I get some more?" And I'd give him more tapes. "Can I get some more?" And he was just going through these tapes, listening to them, and just, man, just being filled and just getting prepared for teaching God's word. You know, over the years, as God has shown me, as I look into the scriptures, I didn't realize. I used to read the Old Testament. Man, oh, man. Let's start with Genesis, then Exodus, Leviticus. And then when I realized that Jesus is in the midst, you know what? The scriptures just explode. You know, the scriptures are alive and living, we're told. And when you go through Genesis, you can look and you see the seed of the woman. You see Jesus. You see the different types. You see Adam. You see Joseph. You see Melchizedek. You see all these types of Christ. You go on and you're going through the Bible and you go to Exodus. And as you go to Exodus, you see the portraits of Christ. Remember, a type, an illustration of Jesus Christ, a principle that's to be told. And as you move, you see the Passover, and you see the Passover, and you see, wow, it's all about Jesus. And then you move on, you see the feast, and you see the person and work of Jesus in every aspect there as we're going through Exodus. And then we see the manna and the water, and we see Jesus, the manna, right? We see the tabernacle, and everything's put in place perfectly, just like the picture in heaven. We see the high priest, and we see, as we talk about the high priest, as you go through Exodus, you see that it's all about Jesus. He's our high priest. And then you move on, and you go through, let's go to the next, we go to Leviticus. You know, it was once boring, but now, wow, as I look in Leviticus, let me get there. I look and I see, wow, the offerings. Wow, they all speak about Jesus. Are you guys getting excited? So before, you know, it's like, oh, I just like the New Testament. But now I look into the Old Testament. I see, wow, there's my Jesus there. There's my Jesus there. There's my Jesus there. Well, you know, one day at Bible college, I was struggling. And one of the pastors said, "Jesus is on every page." And I got in an argument with him. I go, "He is not on every page. I'll prove it to you. I just went through this page. I don't see J-E-S-U-S. And I was so upset that I actually drove all the way to Applegate Church to argue with the pastor there about this statement he made. Of course, he wasn't there, and I met one of the assistant pastors, and he started to share with me the types, you know, the illustrations, the portraits, the pictures, the fulfillment, the shadows. And I was like, whoa, and I started to look, and it just caused me, and I just prayed, "Lord, help me to see Jesus in the scriptures. And as I looked, and then I started to come back, and I look in the scriptures, and I see the sacrifices, and they all speak about the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And then I look at the seven feasts, and it all talks about the work of Christ, the person and work of Christ. And then you go on and you see the first fruits, which all talks about Jesus Christ. I love the new beginnings that we have. And then as we talk about the Day of Atonement, it's talking about Jesus. If we talk about Pentecost, we're talking about Jesus. And you can see, we can just go through the Bible, and all of a sudden the Bible's coming alive. Because you know what? In the volume of this book, it is written about Jesus. Everything here has been orchestrated by the Holy Spirit to tell us about Jesus. And we can go on. We can go to Numbers, and we look at the bronze serpent speaking about Jesus, right? And we can go on, the rock. The rock is speaking about Christ. And we can go on as we go through the scriptures. And as you look into the scriptures, you see all these shadows. You see the law, the Old Testament. You see the law that was written. What is it? What is it? It's a tutor to point us to Jesus, right? And as you get into the scriptures, you'll see they just point to Jesus. And that radically changed my life. It radically changed my life. As we're in Luke 24, let's turn to verse 44. He goes on here. And in verse 44, verse 44, it says, "And then Jesus spoke to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he declares to them that it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Wow. As again, he expounded on the scriptures and showed them that it was all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And, you know, it's amazing to me that as we search the scriptures, as we get into it, you know, in this climate, I know Trent shared with me this morning that he's talking about the economy. As you look at Sudan and all the people dying, you look at the financial situation, you look at the political situation, and it seems to just, man, just waves are crashing, things are happening, and it's like, and it can cause you to kind of get terrified, kind of, you know, be overwhelmed. But then I want to tell you, take a step back and look at the big picture, and guess what? Jesus is in control, right? And you know, in this climate, as I've been witnessing, trying to witness in the soccer world, in the basketball world, in with kids, with youth, and they're so hard. The parents are so hard. We have such a successful group of people that have a lot of knowledge, but haven't met Jesus Christ. And you know, in these times, it's great opportunities to be that light, to be that salt. In opportunities when people talk about the election, you know, who you're voting for. Yes, we want a reason. Yes, we want to vote. In fact, I always tell people, if you haven't voted, don't say anything. Stop right there. You've lost your privilege. You need to vote. You need to vote on behalf of what God's values are and what God is doing. And you know what? I'm not concerned. You know, people are blaming Bush. It's all Bush's fault. It's not Bush's fault. You know, people are playing this party, this party, this party. You know what? We have the privilege of voting, right? And, you know, we choose the people that are in power, you know. And there's a bigger picture. Who's really the one in control? Jesus is really the one in control. You know, as I did a study at Bible college, I realized one of the professors there, he would meet the class and he said, "How many of you came to know the Lord when everything was going great?" How many think raised their hand? None. How many came to the Lord when everything was good? None. How many came to the Lord when everything was falling apart? Everybody. Now and then a person comes to the Lord in a successful moment. But you know what? When you're successful, guess who you're standing strength on? You're standing on your own strength. You know, when your strength gets knocked out, you're trusting in the system. You're trusting in America. You're trusting in the president. You're trusting in the economic system. You're trusting in the insurance company. You're trusting in the bank account. You're trusting in your job. You know, when they get knocked out, what do you got? You got to look up again, right? You got to look up again. And when you look up to Jesus, everything slows down. And we can talk about marriage, and we can talk about sin, and we can talk about drugs, and we can talk about so many things out there. But you know, the main thing is take a step back and remember Jesus is in control. When you take a step back, it changes everything. You know, it reminds me of a story. You guys know the story. The story of Peter walking on water. You know, he looks and he sees Jesus walking on water. He's walking on water and all that. It must be a ghost, right? And then all of a sudden they realize it's Jesus, right? And then Peter, I love him. He goes, "Can I come out?" And Jesus said, "Come." And he walks out there, right? And he's looking at Jesus. He's walking. But then all of a sudden he turns. And all of a sudden fear grips him, right? And what happens? He sinks. But you know what's amazing? Jesus was right there walking on the water. He grabs him, lifts him up, puts him back in the boat. You know, that's how life is for us, right? It's amazing. All of a sudden you lost your job. You're going to lose your house. Who's going to be the president? The banking system is falling apart. What's going to happen? Well, Jesus is in control. He's sovereign, right? He's in control. You know what? Really, why these things are happening, I believe, is for you and me to share the Lord. Looking for divine appointments in every situation. As people get their financial situation rocked. As their values and things that they thought were what they trusted in, everything other than Jesus, are knocked down. Guess what happens? It's a perfect opportunity to point them to the one who has everything in control. While we're here in Luke, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. We have another story here. And it's Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You see, we can get involved in so many things. I know the last election, I got so involved in the election. I was looking at the news, reading the paper, and you know, my spirit got quenched. You know, I was consumed with the election. And then there was another event that was happening, and I got so involved in that, looking at the news, reading the newspaper, and it just quenched my spirit. You know, and the one thing is needed. The one thing that is needed is Jesus. Jesus in the midst of all that you do. You know, I tell people, you know, you can be involved in all different sorts of things. But if Jesus isn't in the center, you're missing everything. You can be involved in economics. You can be involved in the banking system. You can be involved in all kinds of things, sports, all kinds of things. But where's Jesus? If he's in the center, you're on solid ground. You know what's important? What is important? You know, you heard the testimony even this morning of spending time in God's Word. It takes time to get into God's Word. And each one of us have to develop a time and place that we're getting in to hear God's voice. You know, we need to be directed by Him. He is the one with where all wisdom is found, we're told. He's the guide that tells us what to do. He's the one that gifted us with gifts and talents for what He's called us to do. And He's the one that we need to go to daily for our commission and direction where we need to go. There was a season that I was at Bible college and I was running around taking care of all kinds of things and ministering in all different ways. And I came home one day and I was patting myself on the back and thanking God. Thank you for allowing me to serve here and to serve here and to do this and to do that and serve here. I got up at 4 and read your word. I didn't go to bed till 11 o'clock at night, you know. And I was patting myself on the back and the Lord told me, spoke to my heart and said, "You know what? you missed one thing. I go, what did I miss? You didn't sit at my feet. You just ran. And it's the picture of a chicken with the head cut off. You know, many of us are thinking we're serving the Lord, and God has gifted us. God has gifted us and given us talents, right? But we need to go to Him. We need to go to the head to figure out which way we're going. What battle He wants us in. What battle He wants us involved in. Where we're to go. You know, what a wonderful call it is to go to Africa, to the conferences there. I taught there a few years ago at the pastor's conference. Man, what a wonderful place for people. People are hungry for God's word. They're hungry. You know, and when you come to this picture of understanding Christ, you know what happens? As you put Christ first, as you take that step back and always realize the bigger picture, you can see the divine appointments. You can see those opportunities. You can come to a brother who's hurting. He's just like, oh man, I don't know what we're going to do. America's falling apart. And he goes, and you get to minister to him, Jesus. You get to share the Lord with him. That there's a hope, that there's a future, right? That he went to prepare a place for us. That hope that we have is a guarantee. You know, this time that we have here is just but for a season, we're told. And then we go on eternity. He's going to be teaching us about himself through all eternity. Let's take a moment and turn to John chapter 5, verse 39. My dad is Jewish and have a lot of Jewish relatives. It was a season there where I knew four people that knew the whole Old and New Testament. They had it memorized. And I learned that they memorized it just so they could argue with Christians. They didn't know the Lord, but they knew God's word. There's a problem with that. Here we're told in verse 39, chapter 5 of John, Jesus would speak to us as he spoke to the religious leaders of those days. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. You see, the scriptures without Jesus will do you no good. The most important thing is Jesus in the scriptures. That's what the word of God, it's illuminating Jesus. That's where we get to know him. That's how God speaks to us. This word of God is God breathed. It's inspired by God. There's no other book like it. That's why we prayed this morning to have our eyes open to the spiritual truths and the spiritual things that are involved in God's word as it illuminates and we can see. You know, the world can read God's word. The world can memorize God's word. But if they haven't come to the place of knowing Jesus, it doesn't do them any good. They still will be separated from God. They still will go to hell. And then he goes on in verse 40 and he says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Just that rebellion. Romans tells us about those that deny and lie about the truth and look to the creature rather than the creator to turn their back on God. So it's important. It's important that we preach Jesus, that we share about Jesus, that we keep him first. And you know what? Once you come to Jesus, you want to be on fire. You want to be what I call be the resurrection life. You want to live in that abundance life. And let's turn to John 10:10 for a moment. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And Jesus tells us, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, it grieves me as I look around oftentimes and I see Christians. And it's almost like the Christians are beggars. Poor me. And I wonder, if you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you've become a new creature in Christ, you know that the scriptures tell you that you will have trials, that you will suffer, that you will be persecuted. What's up? It's very clear. But you know what? The next thing it tells us is that you have life. And that life is abundant life. And you know, God gave you his spirit so that you can have abundant life. So you can live that resurrection life. While we're here, let's turn to John 11:25. Jesus would say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You know what's important? Is we got life. And God wants us to live that abundant life now. Not only do we have resurrection life, but we have abundant life today. John chapter 11, verse 38. Here it's amazing. Previous to this, Lazarus died. Jesus wept. And then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. There's an odor. For he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you have sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. This is the God that we serve. Even a person dead, he's been dead for 4 days. Martha goes, he's going to stinketh. Come forth. Come forth, Lazarus, brought back to life. Do we understand that Jesus wants to give us life? Do you understand that Jesus is about doing miracles today? The book of Acts is continually. You know what? I look across the room and you guys are all walking miracles. You're all miracles. You all have testimonies of how you came to church, how you came to the Lord, how God has changed your life. It's all about Jesus. And that testimony that you have as you get into God's word and you see Jesus spoken of throughout the times, throughout history, you get to share that with others. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 14. My wife reminded me right before the service to slow down because I tend to go really fast. I apologize ahead of time. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow, the most popular scripture in the world, John 3:16, just declares to us about Jesus, the Father sending his Son, the Son willing to die for us. We need to be those that are proclaiming that truth. That life, that abundant life, the new creation. We've been changed. We've been born again. And, you know, I want to take an opportunity right now. I don't know you. I know Trent. I love him. We have a passion for the Lord. And I want to take a moment right now to ask if anyone hasn't or doesn't know Jesus. Right now, you can say a simple prayer. Right now, while we're here. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've turn your back. Maybe you got involved in all kinds of other things. You just want to repent. You just want to turn to him. Right where you're sitting. You don't need to raise your hand or anything. We're just going to say a prayer. If you don't know Jesus, now is the time. If you got sidetracked in so many issues and you want to get back to Jesus, you just pray between you and the Lord. Let's bow our heads right now and pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we are so thankful that it's all about you. And Lord, maybe someone out here doesn't know you personally, and now is the time. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in him will have everlasting life. Lord, each one in their own heart, in their own way, we just look to you, Lord. We recognize that we're a sinner. We recognize that we need to have our sins dealt with. And thank you, Jesus, that you died, that you took my sin personally upon your shoulders. Lord, you paid that price, Lord, and then you died. You took that penalty, Lord, and then you rose again. And you showed us that sin was conquered. death was conquered and that we could have life, eternal life, abundant life. And Lord, we just thank you. Come into my life. And Lord, maybe you're one of those that have just backslid, just got sidetracked, got shipwrecked, and I want to get closer to the Lord right now. Lord, we just ask that you would just fill their life, that they would see the scriptures. They would just come back to you, Lord, that they would focus, that they would be reminded that Jesus is the totality of all the scripture, that everything is fulfilled in him, Lord. We love you. Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Lord. Change me. I repent. Lord, I love you. I worship you, Lord. I want to get on that, back on that track, back on that path. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10 or Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 through 30. Here again, Jesus is speaking and he says, come to me, all you, all of humanity, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, another quick testimony. As I was serving the Lord, one day, I came to the place where I wanted to quit. I was weary, burnout, fried. And I was wondering, Lord, you know, I can't do this Christian thing. And the Lord took me to the scripture. And the Lord showed me that I can come to him, that you can come to him. All you who are heavy laden. Man, I was just burdened down. I was trying to do the Christian life. I was trying to walk with him. I was trying to get up and read the Bible. I was trying to do all these things. And have you been there? Just, it was heavy. And the Lord wanted to set me free. And, you know, I learned something then. I want to share it with you. You know, we're not sufficient of ourselves to do these things. We're told in 2 Corinthians 3:5. We're not sufficient. In our natural humanity, in our natural flesh, we can't do the Christian thing. It has to be Christ in us. We have to surrender. We have to die and let Christ live in and through our lives. You know, here I am at Bible college on staff just going, I want to quit. I'm weary. I'm tired. Sleepless nights, you know, trying to lead people to the Lord, trying to read the Bible. It was just like, man. And then the Lord showed me, Steve, you need to die. Steve, you need to give up. Let my life live through you. If you're not in that place, if you're weary, you're heavy laden, you're burdened down, you know what? You've taken the load. You put the burden on yourself. There's all these things that you have to do. You're biting the bullet. You know, I can do this, right? Whatever way you want to phrase it, right? God wants to set you free right now. You know, when I read this passage, I thought, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, as I get into ministry, sometimes I have to learn to say no. I have to keep the first things first, right? My family, my wife, my kids, Jesus. Sometimes you can get involved in so many things God didn't ask you to get involved in, and you're carrying the yoke. One of the things we're told that Pastor Chuck has shared with us is that, you know what? If God's in it, he's going to continue it. If God's not in it, shut it down. Be willing to say no. Another thing I learned is, guess what? If you yoked up it with Jesus, who's going to be doing all the work? Jesus. And guess what? If you yoked up with Jesus, right? Can you imagine that? Jesus is next to you. And it's you. He's going to be carrying you most of the time. You can't be weary and tired if you yoked up with Jesus. Something's wrong. You know, every time I find out I'm weary and tired, it's because I took responsibility. I need to give it back to Jesus. You know, when I go out witnessing and sharing the Lord, it's not my responsibility to win the people to the Lord. It's my responsibility to share what the Lord has done, the truth about the Lord. It's God's work to bring them to the Lord. If you're in ministry here, if you're, you know, everyone here is raising a family. You all have things of life that are you have to deal with. You know what? You have to give it to the Lord. You have to surrender your spouse to the Lord. You have to surrender your kids to the Lord. The first time I went to Africa, they told me that there was a 50% chance that I wouldn't return. I had to make up a will. It was very, very dangerous, and it still is. But this was an extreme case where not too many people wanted to go and risk their life. And I raised my hand and said I would go. But you know what? I had to do a will. I had to count the cost. I had to go, you know, am I willing to serve Jesus even if it means death? I had a little boy. What happens if I die? Who's going to take care of him? I have a wife. You know, but as I looked towards Jesus and I asked him, is this what you wanted me to do? He confirmed and said, this is my will for you. And as I realized, you know what? Who could take care of my son better than Jesus? Who could take care of my wife better than Jesus? He also said I would come back. And I put my trust in Jesus, even though I needed to make a will. Even though my wife made a video, because nobody would believe this. Everybody was going, are you crazy? 50% chance you won't return? Have to do a will? She videoed me, and I just opened the Word and told how Jesus told me I'm supposed to go. And I just laid it out. And I laid out how Jesus can take care of my kids better than I can. You know what? And I've given up my life. It's no longer me. It's Christ in me. Wow, it sets you free. And when I went over there, you know, I just preached Jesus. Just shared about Jesus. You know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds came to know Jesus. You know, my wife has her testimony. She shared. She had to surrender me. Wow. Have you surrendered? Have you come to that place of surrender? If you haven't, you're going to be carrying a lot of burdens that God hasn't asked you to do. You're going to be carrying a lot of weight. You're going to be that Christian that's, oh, man, weary and tired and poor me. But God wants to set you free. He wants you to know that He wants you to yoke up with Him. You get your directions from Him in the morning or at night, and you move out with Him side by side. You know, it's so wonderful when you're in the, just walking day by day, and you know Jesus is your best friend. He's your Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Redeemer. And you just go on and on and on, and He's there with you. He will never leave you, never forsake you, no matter what the problem is. He's there. And guess what? There's going to be some truths that you're going to learn through that you could not learn any other way. And the ultimate truth is you're going to learn is He loves you. He dies for you, and He's there with you. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. I love this because, you know, Jesus is our all in all. He's our everything. And in Colossians chapter 2, I'll start in verse 3 and then I'm going to jump through a couple passages. But in chapter 2, verse 3, we're told that the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, as we mine the scriptures, as we look to Christ, there's treasures, there's wisdom, there's knowledge. You know, I see the world, they're chasing after education, they're chasing after money, they're chasing after, you know, a position, a name. But the scriptures tell us that all wisdom, all knowledge is found in a person, in a person. And I see people running all the wrong ways. And I go, wait. Get back to Jesus. You know, when you're in Jesus and when you're seeking Him, you can be all that you can be in Christ. He's going to direct you, whether you're an attorney, whether you're a banker, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're, you know, a missionary, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a worship leader, whether you're a fireman, it doesn't matter, right? Because when you went to Jesus, He showed you. You may be the mom that runs the house.
that raises the kids, and that's your main priority. Praise the Lord. Discipling the kids in the name of Jesus. That's enough. That's a full-time job. Praise the Lord. But we need to know. People want to search after buried treasures all over the world. The buried treasures are found in a personal relationship, in an intimate relationship. It's a relationship. It's not a school that you go to. It's not an academic thing that you climb to. It's not a position that you pulled up. It's not how much money you have. You go to a person. And that person will unfold the wisdom and treasures of the world. That person's not only going to show you where to go, he's going to go with you. He's going to provide all that you need in that direction that you're going. Look at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You know, there's so many landmines out there. There's so many things that will trip you up. And then you have the battle of the flesh and the spirit, wrecking that old man dead. You know, every time I go to read the Bible, you get bombarded with things to do, people you need to call, read anything else. Your mind tries to get distracted. The fiery darts of the enemy are firing at you. And the world is impacting you. The news is impacting you. The commercials are impacting you. And they're godless. They're going to quench the Spirit of God. They're going to quench Jesus. You know, sometimes people don't like me to watch TV with them because a show will come on and they'll be, there's an incident that happens. I go, you need to pray to Jesus. Steve, calm down. Wow, where's Jesus? You know, it's like, well, don't they understand that he's the resource for all of life? Don't they understand that we can run boldly to the throne of grace and receive help in time of need? Why don't the TV shows have that on there? Wow. Don't they understand that they can read the word and get the answers to life? That if you're looking for success, the Bible tells us you can have success. And then verse 9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who is that? That is Jesus. In him, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you and me are complete in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Who is the head of all principality and power. Turn to Colossians 3:11. Verse 10 will tell us, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, man. Praise the Lord. We've been brought into a new creature in Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We have God living in us. We're just tents with God living in us. Isn't that amazing? Wow, the Holy Spirit is indwelled in us. And Christ lives in and through us. We're in Christ. He's in us. I can't think of a better way that it could be. Praise the Lord. But Christ is our all in all. I love the scriptures as they come. Moses said, who should I say sent me? I am. I am. I am. All that you need, all that you could ever ask for, all that you didn't even know you need, but God wants to give you is available, and I am. It's available in Jesus. Wow, there's so much. I'll close with Hebrews 4:16. I know this is a favorite passage of Trent. Hebrews 4:16 will tell us, let us, brothers and sisters in Christ, come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, we're the kids. We're God's kids. He's our dad. He's our papa. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one we worship. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Obtain mercy. Wow. And find grace to help in time of need. Don't do like I've done so many times. Tell God, I'll do it. And I run down the road and then trip and fall. And then, God, help me. And he always helps me. But you know what he wants? He wants us to talk with him at the beginning and walk with him down that whole path. And if when we trip and fall, he's going to pick us up. Not just wait till we trip and fall. He wants to be there from beginning to end. He wants us to have a continual prayer life with him, a continued koinonia with him, a continued fellowship with him. He wants to be in the midst of every single thing you do. Everything. Where you go to eat, what you go to eat, you know, your family. You know, he cares about every hair on your head. That's how I know. I know personally that he cares about every little detail. How you spend your time, he cares. And he wants to be there. And we can run to Abba Father. We can run to Daddy, Papa. We can run to our best friend and the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we just desire to worship you even greater, Lord. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will just fall in love with Jesus even more. Lord, that we've seen him maybe in a different light, in a different way. That we've seen the picture of him through the Old Testament. That we understand he's our resurrection and our life. That we understand he's our I am. That we understand that we can come to him. That's how we get saved in the first place. And that's how he wants us to live continuously through this life. Lord, help me not to be weary and heavy laden, but to run to him and know that he'll carry me. I must say no, or I've taken it on as a burden of myself. Lord, I set it free. I surrender all, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.